Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Standing on the promises. You know the old hymn. I love the melody. But I'm not really sure the lyrics are exactly right. How can I be sure what are God's promises to me in the Bible and what are not? I certainly don't want to stand on something as a promise of God that is not a promise of God. Just because I want something to be a promise of God to me doesn't mean it is one. Now, the reason the gospel song makes me uncomfortable is that God makes two kinds of promises in the Bible, unconditional and conditional. And one should never be mistaken for the other.
The Israelites failed to completely follow the laws of Moses or to completely drive out the inhabitants of Canaan. The surviving remnant of Canaanites began leading the Israelites into idolatry of the local gods.
In the time of Moses, several hundred years before me, the Israelites' relationship with God meant only one thing: follow his laws. They knew they were supposed to love God, but following his laws seemed much more important. Why? Well, they seemingly were punished when they broke his laws, but not punished when they refused to love him. They had the promise that they would inherit Canaan, but had not yet done so. To the Israelites of my time, everything revolved around two things: God and the land. We'd been in possession of Canaan for hundreds of years. Unfortunately, the land was more important than God to most of us. My people's agreement with God is simple. We do everything he tells us to do, and he protects and provides for us. He provides us the land of Canaan. Among the things that void his obligation to protect and provide is worshiping other gods. We do that, and we're in complete violation of our agreement. One of the main subjects of the Old Testament is the refusal of the Israelites to consistently follow God's laws. Follow them for a while, quit following them, get punished, repent. Rinse and repeat. Worship only God, quit worshiping only God, get punished, repent, rinse and repeat. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Promises. Unconditional and conditional promises. An unconditional promise means that God will do something no matter what. Frankly, there are very few unconditional promises of God in the Bible. The vast majority of God's promises in the Bible are conditional. God will do X if his people do Y. Sometimes the conditions are spelled out specifically, and sometimes they're implied. Sometimes there are consequences, punishments involved with not following the conditions, and sometimes none are spelled out. In other words, the promise depends on our actions. We are not the most dependable people. Now, the land, why it was so important to me and the Israelites of my time. The founder of the Jewish nation is Abraham. We Israelites even call him Father Abraham. Because of Abraham's faithfulness, God promised land to the descendants of Abraham. He confirmed this promise to Isaac and Jacob. The land promised to Abraham stretched from the Euphrates River to the Nile River. And when Joshua led the conquering of the area known as Canaan, he acquired a big portion of the land promised to Abraham. Canaan became known as the Promised Land. Moses indicated that God would give the Israelites the rest of the land if they remained faithful to God. The Israelites had uncontested possession of the Promised Land twice in ancient times, after the conquest by Joshua and after the conquest by David, my father. Under Joshua, the Jews worshipped only God and no other gods. 4 centuries later, under David, the Jews worshipped only God and no other gods. Both of those times, the surest way to continued prosperity and full habitation of the Promised Land was to continue worshiping only God. I will talk about what happened after Joshua died, but let me work backwards, starting with what happened after David, my father, died. Upon David's death, I took over complete control of Israel. King Solomon. I built the temple of God in Jerusalem. I was completely faithful to God. And then I decided to quit trusting God completely. I decided to willfully break his laws and ordinances. Out of my lust and out of my desire for political alliances, I married 700 princesses of foreign countries and I took 300 concubines. Over time, my heart turned to foreign gods. Began worshiping the foreign gods of my wives and concubines, and I led the Israelites to do the same. This was the beginning of the end for the country. Never again would the Israelites have as good an opportunity to completely follow God and inhabit their land peacefully. Never. Back to the death of Joshua, found in the book of Judges. Under Joshua, the Israelites had conquered virtually all of Canaan. There were only a few cities and small areas remaining unconquered. Rather than staying unified and completely conquering the country as God had ordered, the tribes broke up and decided to clean up their own allotted lands. Divide and conquer, I suppose. Although the tribes had full intention of completely destroying the Canaanites, it was hard to do. So they decided to let a few of them live. Some even under custom treaties. This was not part of the promise. This rogue move infuriated God. He told the Israelites that the survivors would be thorns in their side and their gods would be a snare. Well, the people wept when they heard these words. But they still did not wipe out their enemies. As long as Joshua lived and as long as his followers lived, the people were faithful to God. But upon their deaths, the following generation did not know God or his miraculous works for Israel. The people did evil in the sight of the Lord by worshiping foreign gods. Let me be perfectly clear about the situation. My people wanted to live in the promised land and enjoy God's blessings while living in complete disobedience to God. They expected God to fulfill his promise, while they failed to fulfill their side of the bargain. They didn't just kind of disobey God by abandoning him. They deliberately spat in his face. They worshiped the Baals and the Ashtaroth. As you can well imagine, the all-powerful God of the universe could not and would not stand for that level of disrespect and hatred. He gave them over to the peoples who tempted them with their foreign gods. The Israelites could not withstand their enemies. The foreigners with their attractive foreign gods plundered the Israelites, and the Israelites came to harm, as God had warned them. Modern Christians see the cyclical rebellion of the Israelites primarily played out as a spiritual war for our hearts. We saw it primarily played out in the land. We owned it. We didn't own it. Borders continually shifting, paying tribute to foreign kings or being paid tribute. The land. We've always wanted the land promised to Abraham, but we have never been willing to be faithful to God. We want to stand on an unconditional promise that was not made.